Chapter 4. Derek felt like he hadn't quite caught up with the situation at hand, which seemed very wrong, as he was a pretty integral part of everything. It wasn't enough that in the course of a few hours he'd realized that A. he loved Stiles and was his mate. B. that Stiles' omnipresence in his life had actually been the only thing keeping him from falling completely off the deep end. C. and that he must really be a sad excuse of a wolf, as Laura liked to call him when they were kids, if he had missed all of that for so long. The only solace he could find in everything was that Laura had decided to postpone the bulk of her gloating in favor of giving Derek a crash course in romance. She had even found a whiteboard and marker to illustrate her points. He was relatively sure she had bought them on her way home. Derek decided that it was really only a solace if he were looking at it from a certain angle. He wished to God he could find that angle right now. So first, what we really should do is establish what the baseline is for your current interactions with Stiles, so that we can evolve from there. The fact that you've already been friends for years with him is good, but we need to move beyond that as smoothly and quickly as possible, Laura said. Derek nodded dumbly from his seat in the center of the couch, his parents on either side of him. So? Laura prompted. I know what it was like when he was a kid, but what would you say your normal interactions with Stiles is like now?
We talk?
Laura shot him an exasperated look. We talk a lot when he's at the station. Or when we run into each other around town, we'll usually talk for about 10-15 minutes, or more. And after lacrosse games, I usually end up talking to him. Sometimes we get pizza after that, and we text each other occasionally.
Define occasionally.
At least every other day. Usually every day. And? Anything else? Laura asked. Sometimes I get him a soda or something from the vending machine, because it never works for him. And once in a while he'll bake stuff, and sometimes we'll hide it from everyone else at the station, and only give some to me and his dad. So in return I've brought him some of Mom's chocolate chip meringue cookies when she makes a big batch. And a few times we've gone out to lunch together. A bunch of times we've gone to the movies together, because we both wanted to see the same thing. And I took him and Scott to the beach once or twice this past summer because Stiles' Jeep was in the shop. Actually, I remember Scott was sick the second time, so it was just me and Stiles. Derek smiled at the memory. He forgot his sunscreen, so I had to keep putting mine on him. You guys know how easily he sunburns. Laura had a pained look on her face and used her free hand to massage her temples. While it is excellent to know who has been taking more than their fair share of the cookies, he just really likes them. And it's not like Mom doesn't make plenty, so I thought, Derek began in his defense. But really, the problem is that when you lay out all of your everyday interactions with Stiles, it already looks like something that would be considered by other people, namely ones not completely oblivious to every single one of their human and werewolf senses, as the foundation of a pretty solid flirtation. What we need to think about is a way to step it up gracefully without going too much too fast. Because while I'm certain we'll get you your mate, I am admittedly not 100% sure on how Stiles would react to just leaving you naked on his doorstep with a few strategically placed bows on. Laura, please don't even joke about stripping and decoratively trussing up your brother. Everyone has had a very trying day, Amelia said wearily. You said I was joking. It's not like I was planning to lead with it. Just keep it as a possible fallback. Derek felt like his body was currently being torn between flushing red with embarrassment or growing green with nausea. He wondered distractedly if the colors would combine to make brown or if he would just pass out first.
I know Derek appreciates your help, Justin said, but maybe we should just let him rest for the night. Laura? You remember how you felt when you first discovered Matt? And that was nowhere near as delicate as the situation we have right now is. Why don't you just let Derek rest for the night and start planning on how to help him win Stiles' affections tomorrow?
Fine. The three of us will brainstorm while Derek sleeps off his years of foolish behavior.
She swept out of the room, Justin sighing and following her into the kitchen.
It sounded like Laura's urge to gloat was starting to edge out her desire to be helpful, or at least what she considered helpful.
It's good to see you're really aiming for the high road in this, Derek grumbled as he clumsily rose from the couch.
His limbs felt like jello, as if during the day, instead of finding out, his mate had been right in front of him for years. He had spent the entire day standing still while every heavyweight champ who had ever lived, or ever would live, lined up and given him body blow after body blow.
She does mean well in her own way, said Amelia, as she helped Derek steady himself.
You two have always been similar enough that the differences you do have just seem to stand out so starkly. And both the similarities and differences are the sorts that can potentially lead to conflict.
You're very diplomatic, Mom. If you went into politics, you could be the first werewolf ambassador to China, Derek said, as his mother walked with him up the stairs to his room, her hands on his arms, not helping up the stairs, just with him.
First werewolf ambassador that you know of, she said with a small chuckle. They had reached the door to Derek's room. Derek reached for the doorknob but paused and turned to face his mother.
In what way am I so different from Laura?
Well, Laura has always gone through life with the brash conviction that no matter what, she knows what's best, and it's her duty to show others what she believes is the truth, no matter what. She's the next alpha, and was made to stand on her own if she truly needs to. She would not do well without Matt in her life, but she would manage eventually. But you're fragile in a way that she's not. You feel things so deeply, and I want you to know that doesn't make you weak. What it means, you can give so much more as well. You're good at your job because you care. Even if you try to hide it, you care so much. You want to protect people. But you need someone to look out for you as well. You need someone to balance you. To take all that you have to give and give it right back to you, enhanced and stronger and complete. I've known since you were very little that things were going to be harder for you in life than they would be for Laura.
Mom,
but I also knew you could have such a wonderful, richer life if you only let yourself.
Amelia reached out and took hold of Derek's head, gently guiding him down so she could press a kiss onto his forehead.
I want you to be happy. I want you and Styles to have a truly wonderful life together. And everyone in this family will help the best they can to make that life come to fruition. Because we're your family, and we know that you deserve this love.
Amelia released her soft grip on Derek and went back down the stairs, leaving Derek alone. He went into his room, closing the door behind him. He made his way to the bed, leaving his clothes and shoes wherever they fell as he stripped them off until he was completely nude. He got underneath the covers and laid down, letting all of the exhaustion of the day overtake him.
Derek dreams of running through the woods as his wolf, the sounds of the forest vacillating between silent and cacophonous, the smells revolting and fetid, when suddenly he catches a new scent on the wind. He follows it through miles of trees, over streams and rocks, through the underbrush, and across trails long abandoned by humans, till he finally reaches the source. Where he should be out of place, but is instead perfect and right, is Styles, waiting for him in the roots of a massive tree, unclothed and calm. Styles rises up to greet him, whiskey eyes shining as stray shafts of sunlight touch his face. Derek remains perfectly still, not so much as twitching his tail until Styles reaches him, bends down, and kisses him tenderly on the snout. He then lies down on the ground, which had moments ago been uneven rocks and dirt, but is now soft moss. He presents himself before Derek the wolf Derek, and tilts his head at an angle to expose the tendons in his neck. The wolf carefully, methodically, licks Styles all over his face and neck. When the wolf is satisfied, Derek transforms back into a man. He lies down beside Styles and takes him in his arms and pulls his mate close till they are flush, one against the other. Derek can feel the blood pulsing through Styles' veins, every flutter of breath through his lungs, the relaxed strength of his muscles beneath his warm skin. He kisses Styles, slow and sweet, their lips moving together, not as a prelude to anything else, but just to be. Derek, reluctantly, breaks away from Styles' mouth and instead begins to pepper his chin, jaw, and neck with tiny kisses, stopping when his face reaches the crook between Styles' shoulder and his neck. He breathes deep, savoring the heady scent, and says, "I would have you if you would have me. Oh God, if you would have me." When Derek woke up, it was still dark out. He was hard, and his face was wet with tears.
As he turned onto the dirt road that led up to the Hale House, 3 quarts of special Stilinski homemade chicken soup beneath the passenger seat next to him, Styles was pretty sure he should be having some strong feelings towards his father right now. He just wasn't sure if he should be pissed off or thankful. Because whatever his dad was thinking, sending Styles out as an angel of soup dispensing mercy, he knew it had to do with their lunchtime conversation from the day before. And as mortifying as that conversation had been on its own merits, reconfirming that Styles should really get over all the non-platonic Derek-related feelings, because once he said it out loud, it was even more obvious that his feelings being returned in any way whatsoever was so, so far beyond a lost cause. The thought that his dad may actually have gone back on his word and was trying to play some sort of matchmaker was even more unsettling. Though, at least matchmaker was a better word than pimp. The situation itself was still pretty disconcerting, but if nothing else, at least Styles could improve the vocabulary. Styles had admitted to himself some time ago that what he felt for Derek surpassed what he felt for Lydia, even if both of them were equally out of his reach. A hopeless case any way he looked at it. But even if he knew it was completely stupid and impossible and something he should be getting over, so that when he went to college, he wouldn't end up making a creepy dorm room shrine to his not-boyfriend back home and traumatizing any and all potential roommates, he still wanted to see Derek, wanted to see him, wanted to be around him all the time, wanted to fill him up with the most delicious chicken soup ever created in the history of humankind. To be completely honest, the list of things that Styles wanted involving Derek was fairly extensive, ranging from wanting to watch the extended editions of the Lord of the Rings trilogy all in one sitting, curled up in one another on the sofa, to wearing dorky-themed Halloween costumes together, to dropping to his knees and taking Derek's cock into his mouth and making him moan like Styles was the best thing that ever happened to him. About 4 years ago, Styles had caught a glimpse of Derek naked when he had been visiting the Hale House, while Derek was back on a break from school. Styles had gotten there earlier than Derek was expecting and had gone straight up to Derek's room, where he caught an eyeful of Derek changing after a shower. Styles was pretty sure he remembered making some sort of knee-jerk crack about covering up, but that half-second peek had been incredibly influential on his journey of physical self-discovery, up to and including the present day. Though he really should stay away from those thoughts before he popped a boner in front of Derek's parents. They had always been extremely welcoming of Styles and indulgent in regards to some of his more excitable tendencies. But climbing up on their roof and getting stuck there when he was 12 was a very different situation than spotting an erection inspired by their son. Not that they would know it was a Derek-inspired erection. Would they? What if they could somehow guess it was a Derek-related erection, like his dad now would? As he parked in front of the house, Styles was glad that, if nothing else, the thought of the majority of the parental figures in his life contemplating his junk ensured that his pants would be fitting properly for the near future. He hadn't even needed to think of the time Scott's mom took him aside and told him it was completely natural and not to be ashamed after she had seen him getting up for a drink of water after a pretty vivid dream during what Styles always thought of as the most awkward sleepover ever. Styles killed the engine and walked around the front of the car to grab the soup. Once he had managed to get them all in his arms, he remembered that he had brought the soup out to the Jeep in 2 trips, and that there had been a pretty good reason for that. He stepped back and closed the door with a hip check, and then carefully walked up to the house's front door, taking extra care on the second step that Mr. Hale had checked out and swore was even, but still managed to trip Styles on at least a third of his visits. When he actually got to the front of the door, and realized that neither knocking nor ringing the bell were really viable options. He was weighing which would be marginally less rude, kicking the door or yelling, when Laura suddenly opened the door with a broad smile on her face. And while Stiles liked, and more importantly had a healthy respect for Laura, for some reason, this smile made the hair on the back of his neck stand on end, being that it was a hell of a lot closer to manic than welcoming. Maybe she was just really glad the soup was here? Stiles decided he was going to go with that piece of reasoning for his own peace of mind. Stiles, so good to see you, and you brought soup! So it looked like Stiles had been right on that front. You brought us a lot of soup. Well, I wasn't sure how sick Derek was, or if anyone else was sick. And it's really good soup. Like, really good. Soup of the deities of your choice. I would never bring over inferior soup for you guys, Stiles said, wishing Laura would move so he could go in and set down said superior soup. For some reason, whatever he said brought another superficially pleasant, but still slightly unsettling, expression onto Laura's face, though at least she made a move to usher him into the house. It's so sweet of you to bring this over for Derek, and to even be thinking of the rest of us as well, said Laura, as Stiles followed her into the kitchen. Well, it's easier to make the soup in large batches, and of course I like all of your family, Stiles said as he entered the kitchen, nodding to Justin and Amelia, both seated at the kitchen table, coffee mugs in hand. Can someone give me a hand? I don't want to drop them. Sure, Stiles, said Justin, getting up and taking the two containers that Stiles had the least secure grip on and setting them on the kitchen table. Thanks, Mr. Hale. Mom, Dad, did you hear Stiles saying how much he likes our family? Laura asked, looking like she was either desperately holding back a wink or had developed some kind of facial tic. Laura, are you getting sick too? You seem a little different today, Stiles said, hoping he had chosen his words carefully enough. Laura just stayed up too late working on something last night, Justin said. Laura, why don't I help you tidy up what you were working on, and then you can take a nap or something?
Yes! Yeah, Dad, if you could help me clean up, that would be great. Don't want things to be messy when we have guests around, Laura said, practically sprinting out of the room, her father following at a much more sedate pace behind her, after giving a rueful look to his wife.
Always good to see you, Stiles, he said with a nod as he exited the kitchen.
Stiles stood, unsure of what he should do. Everyone was acting so weird, he wasn't sure if he should just go, but he still wanted to check on Derek and make sure he was okay.
Why don't you sit down for a while, Stiles? We can check on Derek in a little bit. I just feel it's so long since I had a chance to talk with you, Amelia said, as she got up and retrieved a cover plate from the counter. I made some chocolate chip meringue cookies if you like them. Stiles sat down as a guarantee he could see Derek later, and chocolate chip meringue cookies were both pretty compelling reasons for him to stay. Derek more than the cookies, of course. But still, cookies.
It's hard to believe how grown up you've become. Sometimes it seems like only yesterday you were getting lost in the woods trying to visit Derek on your own.
Hey, I was like 10. 10-year-olds do some inadvisable stuff, but they get away with it by virtue of still being on the cusp of being adorable, Stiles said, grabbing a cookie.
Inadvisable, like hugging someone you barely know in a police station? Asked Amelia as she sipped her coffee.
Yeah, stuff like that. But it was adorable, right? Joked Stiles, praying that the Stilinski family blushing reflex would give him a break today.
Yes, it was. I've always thought you and Derek were sweet together, Amelia said. And yep, there was that blush coming on full force. Amelia smiled over her coffee cup.
That's good to know. I always strove to leave people with enjoyable childhood memories of myself, and now that the window on that is pretty much closed, it's nice to know I was successful, said Stiles. He had another cookie, because if his mouth was full, that meant he would have to stop talking.
Well, you should certainly feel proud of your success, but I didn't mean just when you were children.
Stiles choked on his cookie.
Stiles, are you all right? Do
Do you need something to drink? Asked Amelia with concern.
Yeah, water, please. Styles coughed out as Amelia was already up and pouring him a glass. Thank you, he said, as she handed it to him and took a big gulp. Crumb went down the wrong way, said Styles as he took another drink. I thought as much. Are you all right now? I'm fine, Mrs. Hale, thanks. Styles took a last swig of the water and set the glass down. So, how is Derek? He seemed okay when I was with him yesterday, but my dad said he was looking really bad later that afternoon. And I can't remember Derek getting sick ever. I remember when I had that really bad bug when I was 13. He stayed overnight to look after me so my dad could go to work, and he wasn't worried about getting sick at all. Pissed that I got snot all over him, yes. But because snot. But he didn't care if I coughed in his face. My dad was even wearing one of those flu masks around me for a couple of days. The Hale family has always had a very healthy immune system. It's very rarely that anything affects us. So Derek probably didn't even think to be worried, Amelia said. Styles felt his stomach drop. But that means if he's actually sick now, it must be something really bad. Has he been to the doctor? Should he be in the hospital? I can call Mrs. McCall and ask if she has any advice or anything. Styles, you don't have to worry. Just because we hardly ever get sick doesn't mean that it can't happen every so often. Once in a blue moon sort of thing? Styles asked, trying to feel less worried at Amelia's words, but not really succeeding. He'd feel so much better if he could see Derek himself. Probably not the phrasing this family would use, Amelia said, a small smile back on her face. But yes, let's go with that. Do you know what's wrong with him? Styles asked. Yes. It's not contagious, and he should be good as new very soon, hopefully, Amelia said, seeming to take great care with what she said. In fact, you coming today could help him immensely in getting better. You really think my soup is going to help that much? Styles asked, pleased at the thought. Amelia started and glanced to where the soup container sat on the table, as if she had forgotten they were there. Ah, yes, yes I do. Excellent soup. It has parsnips in it, Styles volunteered, but Amelia remained silent for what felt like a few beats too long. Lots of vitamins. Wonderful, wonderful soup from a wonderful young man. Mrs. Hale? Styles asked. While Amelia had always been very fond of Styles, even people who like Styles generally stop short of calling him wonderful. Why don't I go see if Derek's feeling well enough to come down and have some soup? Would you mind heating some up for him? Amelia asked, standing up from the table. Sure. Everything in the same place? Asked Styles. Haven't gotten around to implementing the grand reorganization plan yet, so yes. I'll be down with Derek in a few minutes. She smiled at Styles and left the kitchen, leaving Styles to his own devices. Styles rose from his seat and went over to open the pantry door and grabbed a small saucepan from the pot hooks on the wall. He set it on the stovetop and popped the lid on one of the soup containers and poured about a third of the soup into the pot. He knew that on a good day, Derek could pack it away like nobody's business. But if he wasn't feeling good, it was better to start at least a little smaller. He set the saucepan on the front burner and turned the heat up to the second lowest setting. He replaced the lid on the remaining soup and put it and the other two full containers in the fridge. He then went to the china cabinet and pulled out the soup bowl with a chip in the rim that Derek always seemed to favor for some reason. One time, when he had been over for dinner, Styles had been helping set the table and had accidentally set Derek's bowl in Laura's spot. As soon as Derek walked into the kitchen and saw the placement, he'd gone and swapped the bowls without a word. He was just closing the silverware drawer after taking out a soup spoon when he heard someone enter the kitchen behind him. Hey, Derek, he said happily as he spun around. Hey, Styles, said Derek. And boy, Styles' dad had not been kidding when he said Derek wasn't looking that hot. Well, actually, he still looked unfairly and devastatingly hot to Styles, but he most definitely looked unwell. His eyes were red, almost like he'd been crying, though Styles knew that couldn't be the reason. With dark circles beneath them,
standing out starkly from a face that was a few good shades paler than normal. His hair was mussed, and his stubble was heavier than he usually kept it. He was barefoot and was wearing a battered pair of sweatpants, paired with a Beacon Hills Sheriff Department t-shirt, with the collar partially separated from the actual shirt. He was still the most beautiful thing Stiles thought he could ever hope to see. "So, we have soup! It should be ready in a minute, so just sit down. You look like you're about to keel over," Stiles said as he set the spoon on the table next to the bowl and went to stir the soup, telling himself that just because you thought someone had attractive toes, it didn't mean you were a fetishist. "Yeah, I didn't sleep all that well last night," said Derek. Stiles heard the scrape of a chair against the floor tile and a small exhalation as Derek dropped into the seat and he continued stirring the soup. "So what's wrong? Was it coughing, sneezing, vomiting, some horrific combination of all three? Are there lesions? You can tell, Dr. Stiles. I'm tough. When others passed out during fetal pig dissections, I just turned a charming shade of green." Stiles turned off the burner and brought the soup over to where Derek was sitting ramrod straight at the table and poured it into his bowl. "Seriously, what's wrong? You never get sick. When my dad told me he sent you home, I thought something had happened to him and that he was having hallucinations or something." Derek looked up at Stiles with eyes that could only be described as vulnerable. Derek was a lot of things, most of them wonderful to Stiles' mind, but vulnerable had never been one of them before. He stared at Stiles and opened his mouth as if to say something, but then closed it with a grimace and cast his eyes down to the steaming bowl of soup. Stiles sighed and on impulse reached out and stroked Derek's hair. Stiles froze. Had he just pet Derek? Derek didn't snap or duck his head away. If anything, he appeared to lean slightly into Stiles' touch. Stiles guessed that any comfort you could get when you were feeling as bad as Derek seemed to be was good enough. Figuring if he was in for a penny, he's in for a pound, Stiles indulged himself and caressed Derek one more time before taking his hand away. "You should eat your soup. Get your strength back up." Stiles walked away from the table to set the saucepan in the sink when Derek spoke up. "Would you stay with me a while?"
Sure, Stiles said. The voice in his head alternating between cheering and yelling the words, "Only platonic!" in quick succession. He went to the chair opposite Derek and sat down. "I want to see how much you appreciate the brilliance that is my soup." Derek picked up his spoon and took a small sip. "It's good," he said, giving Stiles a small smile. "Is there parsnips in this?" Stiles beamed. "You, my good man, are a connoisseur."